Let me read from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev.
Hi, everyone. If you're just joining us now, my name is Peter Muturi, joining you from Nairobi, Kenya, working with an organization called Eyes of Africa. Now, I'm going to be taking us through Genesis 12, 1 to 9. And the big idea is God's concern for all peoples is to bless them. God's concern for all peoples is to bless them. Now, the passage has been read for us, and I believe you guys have interacted with the passage a bit in your tables. And so what I'm going to do is do a short prayer, and then we're going to dive in. Let me believe and pray. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the great privilege it is to study and hear from you, from your word. We pray, Lord, that you help us this evening to delight in what you have said, to long for the Lord's appearing, and to cherish our future hope in you. Pray, Lord, that you give us light, light to receive your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here in my country, in Kenya, and in many parts of the world, the prosperity gospel is very popular. Now, if this is a new terminology for you, this simply refers to that belief that God is inclined to bless, to favor, and to prosper those who have faith. And normally the deal is sealed with a monetary seed. So what happens is you give to church or to a religious cause, and in return, God will bless you. God will give you wealth. God will give you health. Sounds like a good deal, isn't it? And very easy. Now, many of us who went to churches that preach this kind of gospel would therefore have made a promise as we finish university that upon getting a first job, we would give first half or even the full first salary to God. Now, I'm sure it sounds a bit laughable, but you see, for many people who grow up in poverty, they would do anything to get out. Sometimes, though, it's purely out of greed and wanting to demand things from God that he hasn't said. But this passage today, though, says that the prosperity preacher has got at least something right, because truly God is in the business of blessing. He's got something right about God and something right about the life of faith, however confused. God is truly in the business of blessing humanity through this one man, Abram, later named Abraham. So on the blessing front, I think the prosperity preacher is actually right. God is in the business of blessing humanity. God's concern for the nations is to bless them. The question that the prosperity gospel preacher gets wrong is on what is the blessing, when do we get it, and how do we get it? It is true, God's concern for the nations is to bless them. The big question is, what is the blessing, when do we get it, and how do we get it? So we're going to look at this passage, Genesis 12, 1 to 9, under two big points. First one is, in Abraham, God will bless in place of curse. In Abraham, God will bless in place of curse. And we see that in verse 1 to 3. And then the second one is, the blessing of Abraham is received by faith in the future. The blessing of Abraham is received by faith in the future. Looking at verse 4 to 9. Why don't we begin then with the very first one? In Abraham, God will bless in place of curse. Now, one of the problems of prosperity teaching is that it doesn't bear in mind something we call Bible context. You see, it'll be very popular and very common for someone to read through that passage that we've just seen, to walk through it without paying regard to what we see around it, without looking at the verses that come before it, or even the context of the story so far. See, the context of the story of Abraham is actually the story of humanity so far. And the story has more to do with God and humanity than this random guy. And when we survey Genesis 1 to 11, we see that God had made a beautiful and truly prosperous world. Only problem is we come to Genesis 3 and human sin enters the world. The result then for that is that sin and judgment is widespread. Sin enters the world in Genesis 3. And since then, things have only moved from bad to worse. So the word blessing then, when we see it there in Genesis 12, comes as a direct contrast to the curse that has resulted from sin in Genesis 3. In other words, we are coming from a place of a world that is wrecked by sin, where man is experiencing God's judgment and the curses that flow from that. Man's way has only led the human race down the spiral of sin and judgment. And so when you turn the page to Genesis 12, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's beautiful. Finally, there is a way out for humanity, and that in God and for free. God picks this random guy from this random place and chooses him as the agency through which to bless humanity, as we see in that popular verse in verse 3 there. Let me read it again for us from verse 1 of 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Just as it was with the first Adam, God chooses this random man, Abraham, to be the vessel through which to rewrite the story of humanity. In Abraham, God will change the inevitable course of human history that leads to sin and judgment. Where there was a curse, God is going to bless. God first makes the promise to Abraham himself, as you have read, and then this falls down to his descendants, and then outwardly to all the families of the earth. God has started a whole new generation to make new human history through this one man. God says that he will make him into a great nation. He will bless him and make his name great. And in the verses that follow, he says that he will give his descendants the land of Canaan. Abraham then will be a man worthy of the name, the Blessed One of the Lord. Abraham will be a man worthy to associate with. Any of those blessings in themselves qualifies to give him the name, the Blessed One of the Lord. That is the highest level that you get in prosperity gospel. But God here has in mind not only this one man's lifetime and his own family, but the whole world, the whole human race throughout history. He says there in verse 3, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, great, great, great grandchildren of Abraham can trace both their ancestry and their blessing to this one man. Wow, that's just another crazy level up there. In other words, from this one man, From now on, musicians will sing. It will be repeated in classrooms. His name will be quoted in speeches, and children will memorize about his story. They will call themselves by the name of their blessed father, Abraham. And you know what? His name and its association has even more weight when you look at the story of humanity so far. You see, God is saying here that through this one man, we're going to rewrite the downward spiral of sin and curses. The book takes a whole different turn and changes for the better. I think a better comparison to this, for the guys who've been doing Aramaic Romans, is what you find between Romans 1 to 3 and from Romans 3:21. So far, all you have been hearing from Romans 1 to 3:20 is the bad news about sin, about judgment, that everyone is guilty and deserving of God's wrath. I mean, it's depressing. But then you come to Romans 3:21. And you get that word, but now. It's the mother of all good news. Man has sinned, both Jews and Gentiles alike, but now. Now, I normally do this in our training here to make it a bit dramatic. The whole week, we do the first chunk of Romans 1 to 3. And that time, you can even smell the mood in the room. It's depressing. It's ugly. The story of man is all about sin and judgment. But then on Friday, we get there in Romans 3:21. But now, nothing is more beautiful, I tell you. It's the news of something gone so terribly bad without a way out. And then God enters into the scene and everything changes. That's what the story of Abraham is doing to the story of humanity so far. In him and through him, God is saying that he is going to change the inevitable trajectory of life. Without him, this new generation of Noah's descendants is doomed to more flood-like judgment. But God promises that through this man, I will bless instead of curse. There's a way back to go to the Garden of Eden. There's a way back to return to the Lord. There's a path to harmony and abundance. There's a way to deal with sin and judgment, and God is the answer through this one man. And as we go through Genesis then, and in the rest of Bible history, we realize that more than getting land and name and offspring, through Abraham, God will deal with man's fundamental problem of sin and judgment. God will change the fate of the human race to attain righteousness by faith, which is the key then to get back the home he lost with God. We're told there in Genesis 15:6 that Abraham believed the Lord and it was counted upon him as righteousness. Adam's story kicks off with sin, but Abraham's begins in righteousness by faith. Finally, there's a way out of this cycle of sin and judgment. There's a way out for man to get right with God. A way for man to dwell again in peace and tranquility with God, to enjoy true prosperity. And this time round, no serpent will take it away. It is through the righteousness that comes by faith. Brothers and sisters, that is the true gospel message. It is the true offer of eternal prosperity, that in believing in God, our relationship with him is restored. And in that, we get back Eden. God's concern for the nations is to bless them. And the way to gather blessing is through the true gospel. It is through the blessing of a faith, the blessing of Abraham. But supposing I have convinced you what the blessing actually is, we ask then, when and how do we gain this blessing? This brings us then to our second and last point. And here we see this blessing of Abraham is received by faith and in the future. It is received by faith in the future. Now, the story continues then in verse 4. And here we see Abraham believing in God and setting off to go to Canaan. So we're told there in verse 4, Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were still in the land. In other words, Abraham believed God, and he did more than a nod in agreement. He did more than just saying, I believe you can do those things that you have said. I believe you exist somewhere in six dimension or something. He actually stood. He left and did what the Lord said. He left his home country. He left with his wife, with his nephew, with all their belongings and all their servants. Now, I'm wanting to stress this because in a minute, I'll be talking about receiving the blessing by faith. But I do not want you to think faith is simply something we think about. This is active faith. Okay? It is faith that is ready to pack bags to follow God's will. But the interesting thing, though, that we find about this man of faith is that when he comes into the land, he doesn't actually settle in it. He is here in the promised land. This is where he was promised. But what he's actually doing is he's going round like a nomad from one place to another, making altars to God. Actually, we are also told that this time the Canaanites are still in the land, meaning that they still own it. And then we're also told soon, as we see towards the end, that Abraham will have to leave for Egypt as the promised land is going to experience a famine. It feels very strange, isn't it? More of an anticlimax. God has made these big promises. Abraham has taken the step of faith. But then when you come here, it doesn't look as glorious. If you've been reading Genesis, you'd have thought Canaan was the equivalent of Eden. You might even ask, why didn't God take Abraham back to Eden? But an important aspect of these blessings that we might miss is the future angle to it. It's not just about Abraham getting land and a big family and perhaps becoming the president of Canaan. No, it's about the full restoration of the human race to live again in peace with God in his eternal home in the future. As we see in the rest of Genesis, and it's even reiterated here, the promise will continue being pushed into the future. So we see there, for instance, in verse 7, that the blessing of the land is actually going to be fulfilled through the descendants. So Abraham is told, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. The offspring of Abraham, and by extension, the families of the earth, are the ones to receive the blessing of Abraham. As the story continues, we see God repeat, build on, and begin to fulfill these promises through the line of Abraham and through the people of Israel. But even then, the blessing points us to the future. The story is not complete until the blessing flows out to all the families of the earth. Ultimately, God has in mind not just this one man's lineage and his offspring and one race, the people of Israel. He has in mind all the offspring of man across the world. He has in mind men born of Abraham, not by natural descent, but through the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed in God, and through faith, he is counted righteous before God. Similarly, the children of the promise are those who believe in God through Jesus our Lord. In him, the promise of Abraham stands not to simply give us a legacy or some land or offspring. No. It is about gaining back our eternal Eden with God. It's about the new earth and the new heavens. The promise of the gospel, brothers and sisters, is that through the faith of Abraham, we would get the city of God. We are told that children of Abraham are men and women from all over the world who are united by this promise, who share the DNA of Abraham. Paul reiterates this in Galatians 4. He says, "For in Christ, you are all sons of God through faith." For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you were Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. God's mission is to bless all the families of the earth. And all that he requires is that they will put their faith in him. The blessing of Abraham is received by faith. And more than what the world offers or what prosperity gospel promises, God wants us to share his home with him one day. He's not just promising some land, some piece of land somewhere. He's not just promising a bit of health and good wealth right here. He's promising a return to Eden. But more than Eden, he's actually promising that we would come into his heavenly city to live with him, abounding in peace and prosperity. In Hebrews 11, the author tells us that Abraham looked forward to this. And that's what we are called to look forward by faith. God's concern for the nations is to bless them, to give them the blessing of Abraham. And all that we are required to do is to receive it and to do so by faith. You see, brothers and sisters, prosperity preaching only offers what the world offers through a simple route of faith. It offers this world really with minimal struggle because you have God on your side. But the gospel, the true gospel offer, the faith of Abraham offers not just less trouble under here, but the true eternal prosperity living with God. It offers the home of God. Some of you might dismiss this because, you know, you're not lured by wealth and health, and so prosperity gospel will not appeal to you. But all of us would agree that we are not happy with the world as it is. But none of us is comfortable as the way things are. But in truth, when we look at the God's word, we realize that as long as human sin exists, things can only get worse. The true gospel, though, starts by dealing with the most fundamental problem of the human race. It deals with the problem of sin. Through the faith of Abraham, we receive righteousness by faith in Jesus. We become the heirs to Abraham. We get that land. We get that eternal promise. And no matter what happens down here, the grave won't be the end for us. True prosperity, health and wealth, peace and tranquility awaits us in our eternal home with God. It's not that a Christian settles for less. It is because we dream for more. By faith, we long and yearn for the eternal home. Now, we're going to finish here by now, but I want to thank you so much for the opportunity you've given me, listening to me, and I want to direct you now to the handouts. You're going to spend a bit of time there thinking about application. But let us finish here for now. Thank you so much.